think everybody got their notes. Let's go ahead this morning and continue our study in 2 Peter, chapter number 3, nearing the end of this study. I can see a few more messages here, and then we'll be looking at the next book we'll study. 2 Peter 3, as we deal with this, what is a summary chapter, we read in verses 1 and 2, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look once again at this chapter in this epistle in your holy scriptures, please, Lord, help us to take heed, to pay attention to what you have preserved for us in your Bible, that we may apply it to our own lives, because we know that's how we will have the blessings you desire for us to have. So help us, Lord, to do the things you show us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now three times in these two verses we just read, the apostle is concerned with our minds straying from what we already know, straying from that which brought about our salvation, our new life, our stability, our hope, our joy. I am admonished to get my mind stirred back in the direction of the things spoken by the holy prophets. I'm admonished to remember the commandments of the apostles. I'm called upon to be mindful, to get my mind full of those things spoken by the Lord and Savior. Then we skip down to verse number 11, and there's a second concern. Verse 11, the first word there, seeing. Verse 12, first word, looking. Verse 13, middle of the verse, we look. 14, seeing that ye look. All right, so you see the pattern there. See, so I'm being told that I need to become, once again, especially concerned with what I'm thinking about and what I am looking at in response to an entire chapter of warnings about false teaching. Okay? Now we've spent most of our time looking at false teaching with regard to that which makes its way into the church and the influence that it has upon church bodies and church congregations and individuals within the church. But let's be fair and honest about it. The entire thrust of this world system from morning to noon to night is to get you to think about something besides the words of God. It might be legitimate concerns. It might be illegitimate concerns. It might be necessary things or unnecessary things. But by the end of the day, how many times would we say, most of my thought life today was occupied with something other than life-building, spiritually beneficial truth from God's words? And then, as a result of that thought life being derailed or sidetracked, we find ourselves either with our spiritual vision or our actual vision looking at, gazing upon, occupied with that which does not tend toward holiness and godliness. So, as simple as it sounds, the Holy Spirit, nearing the end of this epistle and nearing the end of the New Testament as a whole, says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to be sure and keep going back and going back and going back to what you already know, because that's what you ought to be thinking about. And I want you to be looking at and looking at and looking at what you've been looking at, because that's what you ought to be looking at. You say, man, that sounds so simple. It is so simple, but look at the struggle that we all have with it. Think about as you drive down the road in your car, at how many places your mind goes that do not line up with these verses. Think about in our private moments. It might be worry, it might be fear, it might be planning for the future, it might be anxiety about the future, it might be what somebody's doing or what you think somebody should be doing. But how much of our thought life is sinfully occupied with that which does not promote the living and the preparation for the coming of the Lord that is called for in 2 Peter chapter number 3. All right? So let's read these verses I mentioned carefully, starting at verse number 11. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? When you look upon the bright lights of the world's entertainment centers, and when you look upon the billboards pointing to the great shopping plazas, when you look upon that, can you see it for what it really is? Something that is scheduled for certain destruction. That's what it is. Or do you see it as somehow the place to go and get happy? The place to go and find what I'm looking for? Sure, we've got to buy groceries. Sure, we have to buy hardware. Sure, we've got to buy shoes. Men, once every 2 years. Ladies, maybe weekly. But, you know, there's things that are necessary in this life. We understand that. But can you see this world for what it is? Or has your vision been altered so that you see it for what the world wants you to think that it is? Verse number 12 says, looking for and hasting. That means you're hurrying, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay, that's a sure thing there. That's a promise from God. I see people in a hurry these days. Nowadays in our society, I see people in a hurry to make money. I see people in a hurry to save a whale or save a spotted owl, an endangered species. I see people in a hurry to go green. I see people in a hurry to see the next election go better than the last election went. I see people in a hurry to promote this cause or to promote that cause. You know what the Lord said? Have you got your eye and fixed your attention on the sure and certain fact that the only guaranteed event in the future is the coming of the Lord to destroy this present world? And if that's the only certainty in the future, that's the very thing we ought to be occupied with. Not all this temporary sideshow attractions. Now, it's difficult. You've got to go to work. I've got to go to work. You've got to deal with situations. I've got to deal with situations. You've got to keep a car running. I've got to keep two cars running. You ladies, you've got to feed a family. My wife's got to feed me and two dogs. I mean, look, we got all this stuff. It's got to be done. We got to do it. But surely, we must continually strive to do what we have to do with our eye on the one certain event for the future. I mean, people insure in case this might happen. They save in case that might happen. They exercise in case this might happen. They alter their diet in case that might happen. They sign documents and they plan this and that in case something happens. None of that's wrong, but how much time do we devote to that, to what is not just a in case, a maybe? The coming of the Lord is going to happen. That's a sure thing. The destruction of this world is going to happen. You know, as you speak to people where they work or wherever you might meet them, maybe sitting on an airplane, and you try to engage them in a conversation. I mean, if you talk to a man about the stock market, instant conversation, no problem. If you talk about this war or that war going on over here, over there, instant conversation. Talk to him about the earthquake disaster in Nepal or the volcanoes in Chile. Instant conversation. Talk to him about who scored the most points in between those naked dancing girls to rock music at the sports arena. You know, instant conversation. But talk to him about where he's going to be if God comes today and he has nothing to say. No conversation. There is no place in his thoughts to be interested in, to be concerned about. The only thing we know for sure is going to happen. You know what the Lord says? If you're not careful, you'll spin right out into that world. Now, I'm not talking about getting worldly. I didn't say do worldly things. You just spin right into that life of raising my kids, buying my clothes, saving my money, preserving my health, getting to this event, getting to that event. And before long, I haven't even taken one look all day at the blessed, glorious reality that God is coming back to wreck this thing and to set up his own kingdom down here. Verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, your prayer life, many of you, I'm certain, many of you have a much greater prayer life than I do. And you probably pray with much greater faith than I do. And what it is that hinders me in prayer is just that I can't find any scriptural ground for me to demand God to do things that he hasn't promised. I can ask him. I can beg him. I can reason with him and say, God, I got a verse here you need to take a look at in case you haven't seen it for a while. But I'm pretty sure God knows those scriptures before I present them to him for my own benefit. Okay? So, yes, I pray. I pray. I try to pray fervently. I try to pray consistently. I try to pray without ceasing. But I seldom look for the things that I prayed for. That's my problem. See, I can't do that Oral Roberts thing. Name it. Order God to do it. Quote God a verse and then go out there and watch it happen. Because God hasn't told me what he's going to do in the next 16 hours, 18 hours, 18 days, year and a half. I don't have that information here in the Bible. It's not been promised, see. But I'll tell you what I can look for, because he has promised it. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So whatever joys happen between now and then, and there are plenty, And whatever sorrows and disappointments happen between now and then, and there's plenty of those too, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a new heavens, and I'm looking for a new earth. And everything there will be right. Maybe there's a, I'll give you an example. Maybe there's a Christian brother that you know, for example, who's getting up there in the years, and you have a great deal of love and respect for this man. And there he is. He's just lying there, all broken up. His body's falling apart. And you go pay him a visit, and you pray for your brother. You pray for God to strengthen him and to raise him up, if it would be his will. That is what you want. That's what he wants. You say, well, don't you think he wants to go to heaven and be with the Lord? Yeah. Well, we all do. We all want to go to heaven until it's time to go. Then we try to swap tickets for the next train. Well, brother, you know, it sure would be great to go to heaven, don't you think? Well, great. Here, you go today. I'll go tomorrow. Oh, well, no. I didn't mean it that way. I'll wait my turn. Thanks. Right? I mean, that's the way we are. You know it's true. But, you know, even though you pray for a brother like that, because you don't like to see him in that condition, you don't want to see him feeble and frail, truth be told, you're not really looking for that man to get any better. You got saved. You love God. You prayed. But you don't have a promise from God that everything you ask for on behalf of your friend and brother is going to happen. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He's giving us a reminder in 2 Peter 3. Don't look for the elimination. Don't look for God to get rid of for you all the false teachers. Don't look for the spiritual perfection of all saved people in this life. Don't look for the elimination of those scoffers he talked about. No, look for the new heavens. Look for the new earth. That I've promised you. That I've promised you. You know, if we could just look for what God's promised, we wouldn't be so disappointed when we didn't get what we weren't looking for that he didn't promise. Did you catch that? All right. One more verse before we flip some pages. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Peace, peace. Godward, peace, manward. Unspotted from the world, blameless. You know, something may happen. You did all you could. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. See, what you're looking for is going to determine how you act. Okay, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, for they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, see, that's what they're looking for. They will be rich. That's what they're looking for. Okay, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, why did they get themselves into all those sorrows and snares and hurtful lusts that drown men? They were looking for the wrong thing. What they were looking for did not promote holiness and godliness. I mean, look, if everything out there is going to be destroyed, and God said it is, if Jesus Christ is coming back to set up his kingdom, and he promised that's exactly what he's going to do, If the only thing that abides is the glory of the Lord, and that's what I'm looking for, it's going to keep me out of more than one scrape, bad situation. It'll keep me out of more than one snare, looking at what I'm supposed to be looking at. Okay, let's look at some verses on the pure mind, way of remembrance, mindful of the words, and then we'll look at some verses on this looking for. All right, first place is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Happy Christian, unhappy Christian. How can you be one and not the other? Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I mean, look what the Lord said. Everywhere you go, keep your mind full of God's words. That's what we just read. Every conversation, keep the conversation full of God's words. If your conversation gets to be about temporary politics, if your conversation gets to be about this person or that person, if your conversation gets to be about this situation and that situation, something in that conversation is going to change what you are looking at. And it's going to cause you to get off track. And that is a challenge. That's a challenge. I mean, look, it's the greatest challenge in my life. That's the greatest challenge in your life, is to hear that and let it, you know, hear whatever's going on around you and just let it go, and to keep my mind on the Lord and keep my mind on the Lord's words. Okay, and experience that and let it go, and I mean and receive that and let it go, and keep my mind on the Lord, and to deal with that and let it go, and keep my mind on the Lord and keep it on His Word. That's the challenge. You know, that's your greatest challenge too. Getting that mind back on Jesus Christ and back on Thus saith the Lord. You know, our world's just getting absolutely nuts out there. It's crazy. And it has nothing to do with the political party or the power and their power. It has nothing to do with the economy. It's because their mind, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is on, I think, I feel, well, the way I look at it, well, the way I see it, there's no scripture in that thought life. And so there's no order to it. There's no sense to it. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know these verses. Psalm 119. You know, young Christians today really need to watch out for this stuff. Because I'm going to tell you something. When they get into those college classrooms, they're going to find out that every one of those courses is going to be about trying to get them to think differently than what the Bible says. That's what it's all about these days. I don't care what class it is. Nursing class, truck driving class, pipe fitting class, shooting a bad guy class, whatever it is, that world has a way of thinking. You know why they want to know? You go to a job interview, you give them your resume, they're checking that thing out. Do you know why they want to know if you've been to school for 4 years? Do you have that higher education? When you talk to them about that job, they say, "Have you been to school, the 4 year school?" You say, "Yeah, that's why I got my diploma." Well, let me ask you, why don't they just give you a test and see if you know what you need to know for the job, you know? Because they don't want to know. They don't want to know what you learned. They want to know that you sat for 4 years and listened to their way of thinking. That's all they want. That's what they want. They want to know if you've been sufficiently molded into the new world frame of mind. They want to make sure that you got the politically correct thought process down so that you'll be a safe teacher in our school, or you'll be a safe engineer in our firm, or a safe director in our project. Because they don't want anybody in there that's going to talk about that Bible stuff. So the Bible says here, it says, here's what you need to do. Young man, young lady, Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You say, I know the Bible. All right, good. Keep knowing it. Well, I've read it. Okay, memorize it. That's what this verse is telling you to do. Memorize it. Well, I have memorized some. All right, good. Memorize some more. Well, I did memorize some more, but I forgot some of what I memorized. Go back, look it up again. But the world is not going to stop preaching their philosophy of life. And so if you stop countering that with a biblical thought life, they're going to gain ground on you. Because they never stop. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Pure minds, way of remembrance, mindful of the words. Philippians 4 and verse number 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." See, there are things God wants us to think about. And there are things that our adversary wants us to think about. If these things are profitable, well then obviously those other things are not profitable. Your battle and my battle every single day is to think on these things and not on those things. Think on this information, not on that information. Goes on, "If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so the Holy Spirit says, false teachers, watch out for those false teachers. Watch out for the pig pen. Watch out for the dog vomit. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. All right, now having understood all of that, don't think on those things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Be aware. Yeah, it's out there. It is out there. I told you it's out there. It's coming your way. It's coming your way. It's coming your way. Don't think on that. Think on these things. Think on these things. That'll help you. All right, so that's the mind. How about the look? Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The look matches throughout the New Testament. The look matches the admonition in 2 Peter 3. Hebrews 11 and starting verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. All right? So what is it they're looking, what are they actually looking at? Long distant promises. That's what they're looking at. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All right? So look, what they're looking at, it's not here. What they're looking at, they do not get it in this life. All right? And can you see that? They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just passing through. Where are you going? I'm going right there. Where? I don't see anything. Yeah, right there. That's where I'm going. I'm looking at it right now. So you can do that. You and I, we can do that. Look at those promises. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful, you see that? There's the mind again. Mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So there's a little warning. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. How about that? You know what they're looking at? They are looking at a place in heaven. That's what they're looking at. That's what we need to be looking at. You know the aim. You know the ambition of this entire system. It's not to turn every one of you into drug addicts. It's not to turn all you men into wife beaters. It's not to put every one of you behind bars. The purpose of Satan and this world is to get you looking at something that is not lasting and not important, instead of looking at your heavenly home. If that's where you're going and that's all that's going to last, then the only thing that matters about that family that lives next door to you is how can I get them there. Okay, not whether or not my roses are prettier than their roses and my car costs more than their car. Who cares about any of that stuff if you're looking at that? Amen. I mean, if you're looking at this, you know, anything down here, there's a lot to be interested in and a lot to be concerned about and worried about and to things to fight over. So don't look down here. Keep your eyes focused on that promised place that God's preparing for us. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. My biggest battle, your biggest battle, thinking about what I ought to be thinking about and looking at what I ought to look at. Titus 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. What keeps you godly? What keeps you holy? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How about that? How about that? When I go to the United States, usually no problem going there, but coming back on that return trip, I'm going to be treated like a terrorist. I'm going to have my pockets emptied, my belt off, my shoes off. I'm going to pass through an electronic, probably cancer-causing screen, some kind of X-ray thing, and then I'm going to get picked out of line later on because there's a frown on my face, and they're going to put the wand up and down me to see if I'm hiding something in a place where the X-ray couldn't see it. And I'm going to go through all that, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to forget that I'm supposed to bear witness to those people about eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm going to get worldly thoughts. and I'm going to start talking about, man, when's the last time somebody who looked like me blew up anything? But that's not important. That's temporary. And then I'm going to sit and wait to board the plane and take my seat next to the screaming baby or in front of the kid who likes to kick the back of my seat the whole way back to Kuwait. But anyway, what I'm telling you is, in your life, in my life, there are thousands of things every day that jump up and scream, I matter. Things that really don't matter. The things that cry out and say, pay attention to me. And they're not worthy of our attention. And all that is a cry to quit looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, people will tell you, well, you know, I don't have any trouble with that temptation. I don't have any trouble with that temptation. There's temptations you don't have trouble with. There's temptations I don't have trouble with. But every one of us has trouble with this temptation. We quit looking at what we ought to be looking at. And when you quit looking at what you ought to be looking at, you're going to be looking at lost people. And that's not going to do you any good. Or you're going to be looking at saved people. And that's not going to do you any good. Or you're going to start looking at yourself. And that's not going to do you any good. And so we need to be looking unto Jesus. All right, the last one is 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They won't last. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? I can't see my home in heaven. and I can't see my Savior. And I'm told that those are the two things that I'm to be looking for. I mean, down here, if I look at my body, it's falling apart. If I look at my world, it's falling apart. If I look at everybody else, they're falling apart. Heaven is not falling apart. Jesus is not falling apart. God, help me rein in the mind and stop letting it go all to all these places that are harming my enjoyment of the Christian life. And Lord, teach me to keep my eyes on all that really matters. And that's the appeal of 2 Peter chapter 3. Seeing, it's all going to be dissolved. What are you looking at? Seeing, there are two things that remain, heaven and the Lord of glory. What ought you to be looking at? It seems so simple. You know, why'd God put that in the Bible and say, remind them? Well, because as simple as it really is, we all forget it. As simple as it is, our mind, as soon as we walk out this door, it's going to start drifting here and running there and wandering over there. God help us. God help us. Think right, see right, and the scripture indicates that when you think right and see right, then we're going to live right. That's a pretty simple message today. Pretty simple message, but we need it. Would you stand? We'll pray and then we'll sing a hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for reminding us that of what we need to keep our minds focused upon, the promises that you've given us, and keep our eyes gazing upon things that we can't see visually or physically, Lord, but you've promised it, and that's what we're to be looking at. Lord, thank you for the examples you've given us today and all throughout your scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see your hand upon all these verses of scripture to speak to our hearts here in these last days. And so, Lord, thank you once again for the warnings, but thank you also for reminding us what to keep looking at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.